So, two of us here again, missing Wolfman Jeff. He's across the border, filling in for our international correspondent, Eric Cantona, and apparently hanging out with his pet Zonky.
Yeah, he seemed really excited about the Zonky, and I didn't know that was a thing. Did you know that was a thing?
I'm assuming when he says Zonky, he means a zebra and donkey hybrid.
Wait a second.
But we know it's Wolfman Jeff. It could be anything.
Soccer chat with two T's, because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga. So it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
Hey,
welcome to Soccer Chat. Alex and Adam here. And we're going to talk about the Red Wolves.
And I think.
And other things.
I think we need to start at the thing that honestly is dragged on for way longer than necessary. And that is the Jimmy Obleda suspension. A decision was kind of handed down by the league. What did you think of the way the league handled that, their decision?
Not surprised at the way that it was handled. And I am furiously trying to scroll through the League One Twitter feed and find the league announcement that was put out. And I'm not having any luck.
So here's what it says. They basically said the investigation determined that Obleda used overly aggressive management tactics and insensitive language on multiple occasions, thus warranting the suspension he has served during the league's investigation and requiring mandatory training as a condition of his eligibility as a USL coach. The club cooperated in the investigation, and the league looks forward to continue to work with the club as it determines appropriate further steps going forward. That was a lot of words to say nothing. I mean, they did at least tell us what it was about, which is overly aggressive management tactics and insensitive language, which could mean all kinds of things. I know some supporters took it as like he's being mean and the players are too sensitive, and other supporters were like, well, you know, maybe the players aren't being too sensitive and he's really crossing the line that no one should cross. We still don't really know what exactly it was, but I will say, I don't think the league is saying we're justified in suspending him for this long just because he said one or two mean things. I think pretty substantial.
I think the key word in there is when it says multiple occasions. And so that suggests to me that this happened more often, and it may have been something that came to a head, unfortunately, because we've struggled in the first half of this season more than the team ever has with Jimmy Obleda as the coach. And so, you know, he may have, in trying to spur them on, you know, gone a little further than maybe he normally would or had on previous occasions, and it got to be too much.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, they're not very clear. They aren't giving specifics of a particular incident or incidents, but they are saying that it's something that happened more than once. And here again, you know, I want the players to feel supported and heard. I want Coach Obleda. I don't want him thrown under the bus. But I think you know, this is something that's happened. We all know that he's fiery, and even if it's the sort of thing that comes from good intentions of trying to pull more out of a player than even that player thinks he has in him, you still have to consider that he's a colleague that you're working with, even if you're in a position of authority, especially if you're in a position of authority. And you'd have a particular professional standard that you have to treat these players with.
And I think ultimately for the team, it's going to come down to two things. Number one, do they think it's something that he and the players can rectify and move forward together this year? Or do they believe, based off of what the USL still needs to provide them, which is the formal report and complete factual findings, that's also part of their announcement, do they feel, after looking at that, that this is not something that he can come back from this year? It's going to overly disrupt to try to bring him back, and they wait to maybe give him a chance in the offseason or whatever they do in the offseason. But what do you think happens? Do you think he comes back this season?
I really don't know. I think you're right. The 2 points are the ones that have been bouncing around in my head all week of they have to consider, one, whether he is able to, to reconcile with the players himself. And, you know, he has to undergo some of this training. Is he able to amend the way that he approaches? Is he able to take a different tack now that he's had this? And the thing that's important, no one here is bigger than the club as a whole. And this club is on a 7-game unbeaten streak, and they are working their way back into the playoff hunt. And does bringing him back jeopardize that run and the morale of the players overall, and cause things to go back into a bit of a decline? And so they've got to seriously think about those. And I don't imagine Jimmy Obleda is going to be back this weekend for sure. I think you're probably still going to have Jimmy Weekly continuing to coach while the team sorts this out, reviews their report, talks to the key stakeholders, you know, Obleda, the assistant coaches, the players, to figure out what him coming back would look like, if that's going to be in the best interest of the team.
Yeah, and I think as much as you would hope that the rectifying can happen, this kind of reminds me a lot of, like a marriage, right? Like if something happens in someone's marriage, some people are able to rectify it and some people aren't. And it can be varying things. Like, you know, I've known, people that have had what I would consider very minor disagreements in their marriage, and the marriage ends. And I've had other people that I would say, there's no way in the world I would stay with that person. And they've been able to rectify and have wonderful marriages. And I think a lot of it comes down to the personalities involved and whether or not they really can get past and fix, right? Like obviously these are not things that he can continue to do. He can't continue to use horrible language at somebody on a regular basis. Like this has to be a change for him. But the question becomes, is it a change that he can do with this team or not? And we don't know enough about the situation, about the players themselves and how they feel about it. We don't know enough about how much Jimmy really feels like he needs to make a change and how much the team feels like it's worth investing the time that it really will take to create that camaraderie between the players and coaches, which is important. Like, you want a coach that has a connection with his players, and you want players that want to go to bat for their coach. And, I'm hopeful that can happen, because that's the best scenario, right? He becomes a better coach because he can treat the players in a manner that they feel respected, and they get an opportunity to announce that what their issue is, and they see it, that issue not just being, well, he's gone, to being, hey, we're going to fix. I think that's the best solution, but it's not a required solution. And so if ultimately it means he doesn't come back, I wish him the best. I hope it doesn't mean he can't ever coach in the USL again, but I want what's best for the team, for the players, for those coaches, including Jimmy. And so we'll have to wait and see what that is. But from a fan standpoint, you've got to really respect what Weekly and the other coaches have done and this team has done during this absence, and how they've stepped up and created this unbeaten streak. And I think we've talked ad nauseum about this Obleda thing. So let's actually talk a little bit about that unbeaten streak. What was your first thoughts in that Tormenta game?
So the unbeaten streak got put on the ropes early. You were down in Atlanta. Your son had a tournament, and yep. From what I hear, they had a good weekend. So congrats on that to your little one. And how did you watch the game?
So we have a camper travel trailer that we take. That we will be utilizing for those tournaments, so that we can save some costs, because ultimately hotels are expensive, right? There was no Wi-Fi or anything like that in the campsite. So I literally, fortunately, we were able to get it on my phone where I shared a hotspot and connected my son's iPad, and we watched the game from his iPad. Is how we pulled that off. What was nice though was I've got Bluetooth in my travel trailer, so I had really good speaker set up and a little screen, so it worked out well.
So yeah, in the first 10 minutes, we had kind of, unfortunately, the defense get a little lost watching the ball on a counterattack. Players didn't run out at the Tormenta player fast enough, and he was able to kind of cut in and make a pretty good shot, tuck it in the inside bar. It's a shot that I kind of wish Carlos would have made that save, but he didn't. And in the ninth minute, we were down 1-0. And what were your thoughts? What were your feelings when that happened?
So you're always a little scared when you go down early, but you're at home, right? So you feel right. You feel like there's still lots of time on that. I didn't feel like it was a Carlos error as much as it was one of those things. Like it was a goal that could have saved it, maybe, but I feel like most keepers would have been 50-50 on getting the save in there. So I wasn't really throwing that at Carlos. But I wasn't super worried. Like I just don't feel like this Tormenta team is one that you have to worry about them scoring a lot. And I felt like it was long enough for us to be able to get in there and get the game back. Whether it was going to come all the way back to win, I don't know that I thought that was necessarily going to happen. But I did feel pretty good.
So I agree. And the way that they kept their composure in the 5 to 10 minutes after conceding that goal, they didn't answer right away and score, but they just, it seemed calm. They seemed patient, that they trusted that eventually they were going to be able to get that goal back. And that's what they looked like. And so I was heading towards the end of the first half, feeling really confident and thinking that we had a pretty good chance in the game. And then we had our free kick, Mo Espinoza putting an incredible shot on goal. And credit to Juan Galindrez for pouncing, getting to the goal, and pouncing on that rebound and putting it away. And that was a great way to end the half.
So, I'm not disagreeing with you. That's a great way to end the half. Like, but that's – I'm sorry, but that's not – that was not because of a great shot by Mo. And it wasn't because Juan Galindrez – did a great job following up. That was just really bad goalkeeping. Like there's bad. And then there's like, wow, I don't know that anyone could have been worse than that. And so I'm going to share it because if you didn't see it and you're watching this on YouTube, I want you to see it again here. Cause I feel like I want you to know I'm not wrong. So here's the goal.
Herrera Garcia will defer for Espinoza. He goes for goal. Bush, not comfortable. It's loose, and Galindrez pounces on it.
So here's my main issue with it. It was almost like he took his hands and slid it over to Galindrez. Like, it wasn't coming in fast. It wasn't some, like, great rebound. It was like this slow, like, ooh, oh, here's the ball. Enjoy. And I think that's partly why their defenders weren't there, is because it was such a slow free kick that they're like, yeah, he's got that. And so for it to come back like that, I don't know. That was really bad goalkeeping.
That's fine. I don't disagree that the goalkeeping was bad, but I'm still going to give Juan, Juan credit for pouncing. Got his 10th. And we can kind of move on to the second half. Juan Galindrez should have had his 11th.
Yeah. What did you think of that PK? Did you think, like I did, that like, and I keep harking on this, but like, that was a bad PK, right? It wasn't great goalkeeping again. It was a bad PK. Or do you think it was a good stop by the keeper?
No, I feel like, so I think the last penalty take that Juan Galindrez had, he got cheeky. And he got the keeper to commit and he put it dead center, kind of chipped it dead center. And I think he was kind of trying to do this time. And the keeper, because he wasn't a great keeper, hesitated. And so he wasn't too far off his line and was able to leave his foot there. And yeah, so to me, it was a little bit on Juan for keeping it dead center, not really hitting it with enough power to put it in the net. And that was exactly what I turned to the folks we were watching with and said, he tried to get cute and he should have just buried that in the corner with power.
Yeah. So here's that PK.
Gets the whistle and he comes and it's saved by Bush. It's still alive and cleared by.
So I'm going to come back real quick. I'm agreeing with everything you said, but I have a question about this part right here. So the ball's been bounced back. Juan is in position at this point to take a shot. Should there have been a second penalty here? Let's watch it again.
Bush, it's still alive and cleared by.
What do you think?
It was jumping, and so I didn't see.
Okay, so I'm going to come back again. Watch the rebound here, and watch all three of the Tormenta guys.
Head moves back and to the left.
No. No.
Back this is, and to the left. Sorry, I was doing.
This is not a conspiracy thing. All three of their guys kick Juan and not the ball. Watch.
And it's saved by Bush. It's still alive and cleared by Dangler.
Like, he gets destroyed. If that's a first, like, cross into the box, right? Like, he's in there on a cross and that happens, that's 100% the guy's pointing for a penalty. But for whatever reason, it's really rare to get a second penalty after on a penalty follow-up, even if they take you out. And he 100% got taken out there. And that just irked me. I was like, I get it. You don't really do that often, but that was bad. Like, he had multiple defenders go, like, try to kick the ball and kick him instead. You can't do that. Like, yeah. And also, it kind of goes to my
our
point that I brought
up. Of the folks in the supporter section.
Yeah, you can't. Exactly. I think at every supporter section at every soccer game in the U.S., their favorite chant, that you can't do that. I guess my biggest issue, though, is where's Juan's first touch there? Like, he tried to settle it. If he just would have just tried to tap it again, that goalkeeper was so terrible, he could have just put it at the back of the net.
No, that's true. So that was a little disappointing, very deflating. We were all in that supporter section ready to explode. We had some kids drumming. We had college kids back at UTC who had come. So they were filling down at the very bottom row and were ready to get loud and rowdy for them. So that was a little bit deflating. I don't think it took much longer until we finally found that go-ahead goal. And I want to get your thoughts. So I think it's off of a free kick. Ball gets crossed in, goes towards the back post, and Devin Benton's there. Did you happen to notice any little nudge by DJ on that play?
No. And I'm trying to find the actual goal so that we can rewatch it here. And for whatever reason, my download, I cannot find. Okay. I found it to download. So give me 2 seconds here to pull it up. So walk me through what you thought you saw that I missed.
So as I said, as the ball goes towards the back post, you might see DJ's hands extend just a tad as he goes up to win the header. And you definitely will see the Tormenta player flop down as if he had just taken a cannonball to his back.
Is that the guy who stays on the ground?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to pull it up right now for us to take a look at. And then you can walk me through, you know, what it is that I missed. Because I didn't see that. Honestly, at all, and it, you know, it's not that surprising that I missed something, let's be honest.
Looking for their sixth home win of the season. Ortiz. Numbers in the box to aim at. He'll loft it toward the back post. Benton got his head to it, it's still loose.
No.
Nembhard's on the ground. Here's a shot.
He may have had his hand on his back, but he didn't even push him.
Right. So,
a scramble play.
There, the entire celebration. Tormenta players were talking to, assistant referee and main referee as if they were going to get VAR that was going to look at this. It's not like he grabbed a gigantic handful of the guy's hair and pulled him backwards.
that doesn't work for VAR anyways.
Yeah. Anyway.
So I've got it paused right at full extension of the arms.
Right.
So here's the thing. if he's already fully extended and the guy's not falling yet, he's not jumped yet. It's not until right after this that he jumped
toward the back post,
and he's like, "Oh no, it's still going loose. Well past me."
Yep.
I need to act like because he was touching me. And here's the thing that's funny is him being on the ground complaining is what allows us to get the goal.
Yep. Him standing, there's a decent chance he blocks the shot by Jimmy Villalobos, who buries this thing in the corner. And I'm right up here at the top. You can see me. I'm very excited. And there's the goal. So great job, Jimmy Villalobos, pouncing. And I'm really excited to see him getting multiple goals this season. I think he's on 4 now for the year. And he has been an integral role playing that 10, being part of the attack, and being able to clean up stuff like this. He's able to pounce on these. He's able to get to the back post, like we so often complain about not having people at the back post.
Yeah.
So great job by Jimmy.
So as the night is coming, my room keeps getting darker and darker. I think by the end of this, it's just going to be my face and all blackness behind me. That's kind of where I'm getting at. If those of you that are not watching on YouTube, I apologize, but it's kind of cracking me up because I can't get the light to turn on in this room.
Well, it fits your vibe.
Yeah. Darkness, so, my old friend.
After that second goal, there was another play later with Alex Tejera. I don't know if you have the replay of that.
I don't have that.
Alex Tejera makes a move around a defender who leaves his leg stuck out there, trips up Alex Tejera, and we get no call. Some of us were conspiracy theorizing that it was maybe a makeup call for all the complaining about DJ's push-off that wasn't really a push-off. In any case, that was a little frustrating. It doesn't affect the outcome of the match, so there's no reason for an extended rant. My favorite part, though, Adam, as you're watching at home and the 5 minutes of stoppage time get 5 minutes of stoppage time added on, what are you thinking?
So I was okay with a couple extra minutes because of stuff that happened during stoppage time.
Right.
But there was like the last 2 possession changes, I kept expecting the whistle to blow. And I kept thinking, we just talked about this and the fact that we lose points in stoppage time and they're letting stoppage time last a half. Like, this is not okay. But it's kind
retake a free kick like 3 times, it felt so ridiculous.
What was great about that, and I want to say this, the announcer for this game was excellent. And the reason he was excellent was, and he mentioned it, he does hockey. If you can do hockey announcing, you 100% can do soccer. It's a whole lot slower than trying to keep up with the names for hockey. But he did great. And he made the comment, like, well, they spent a ton of time forcing him to retake it to eventually have him take it from the same spot he took it, which is what was true. Like, because every time he'd go back and he'd throw the ball out, like 20 yards in front of him and slowly walk up to it and kick it. I was like, dude, how is he not getting carded? This is ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's what you expect in USL League One. It's not uncommon to like check games and it'd be like the 90+9. And you're like, that doesn't happen in other leagues. Like, they don't go into 9 minutes of stoppage time. Mm-hmm. And part of that is the other leagues probably do a better job of telling the teams that are wasting time, you get a yellow card for wasting time earlier in the game than the 85th minute giving a yellow card to the keeper. Do it in the 25th minute so Omaha will stop freaking wasting time in the 25th minute. Like, get them done early so that we don't have 9-10 minutes of extra time. Like, control the game better.
Yes. Well, that only seems to happen when we are trailing.
Yeah,
and then somehow, despite the fact that someone sits down on the ground for 2 minutes, we get 15 seconds of stoppage time added for that. So
yeah, that's not it. That's not an inaccurate statement. All right. So
overall thoughts, how do you feel about getting the win, being on 7 games unbeaten? 4 of those are wins. So 4 wins, 3 draws in this 7 match unbeaten streak. How
should be
feeling?
6 wins and 1 draw is what I'm going to still say because of those 2 stoppage times, loss of the lead. You feel really good, right? And I was really annoyed by the USL League One power rankings because they made like a reference to that we were our next five games or something we play, or four of the next five games are versus teams in playoff position. And I was like, you mean like when we played Tormenta and Ford and Greenville and Union in four of our last five that were all at the time in playoff position? Mm-hmm. Like, it's revisionist history to look back and be like, well, Tormenta's not in a playoff position. Well, no, but they were when they were leading. They like the playoffs are too stacked. Like going from, you know, honestly, like we're at 32 points all the way down to Hailstorm at 9 at 26 points. That's all pretty well stacked. Now Hailstorm's played one more game than us, but like Tormenta's played a game less. They're in eighth, technically not a playoff spot, right? But they can get the 30 points, which will put them in sixth. Like Central Valley, they can get the 30 points, would put them in sixth. Charlotte can get the 32 points. They're not going to pass us on goal differential or wins, so they would be in fifth. But like, these are all teams that have played less games than us. Like, we didn't play Tucson in every game. Like, we were playing other teams that are in the playoff hunt in this unbeaten streak. And so it was an insulting statement to almost to act like it was, you know, to use a baseball reference, when the Braves went on their long run earlier this season, everyone kept referencing, well, they're playing the crappy teams. Well, you still got to beat the crappy teams. And we really honestly were seconds away from being six wins and one tie in seven games. I would argue we're one of the hottest teams in USL League One, if not the hottest. Maybe Greenville can argue that they're hotter. But Greenville's one of those teams that we should have beaten, right? So, or that we did beat, sorry, that we destroyed, right? Other than that, yeah. Greenville's played pretty well of late. You know, 3-1 victory, 0-0 tie, two losses in a row, then two wins in a row to make up for it, right? So, including beating Richmond. So, these weren't scrubs. Like, one of our victories was a 5-1 victory over the team that has the most points and is clear of everybody. Like, it's a stupid statement. So, yeah, I feel really good. And then when I look at who we've got coming up, and I look at the teams that we're going to be playing, I don't look at it and think to myself, oh, man, now it gets hard. Like, yeah, Charlotte, I think we played them pretty well the time we played them here at home. Like, I feel like that game went well. What was that final score?
Yeah, so they have a -3 goal differential that would be a +3 were it not for our 7-1 victory.
Yeah, so I feel pretty good. I feel like we could probably – we'll do okay. Union Omaha is a hard team to play on the road because their goalie can score from anywhere. Ford Madison is
a
hard –
I think Carlos definitely needs to try that.
I mean, definitely.
Or Tor, whoever's in net at that particular game.
Yeah, Ford Madison is the game September 10th in Madison. I don't know if it's yet negative temperatures in Madison in September, but that's not an easy place to play. They are currently leading the league in average attendance. They have a very passionate fan base that when Superfan Kay Baker went up there, she said they were all loud, not just the supporter section. So that's kudos to you, because Greenville would love to do that. They only have the supporter section that actually speaks in their games.
By the way, is that reported attendance? Is that
I think what they do, I think they actually roll dice to figure out what the attendance is, because that's what I've heard from Twitter, is that nobody's
USL
everybody just
drones over everyone's stadium and counts heads.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only reasonable thing to do. That's how the Chattahooligans make their money, is those drone shots. You know, and then Richmond Kickers. So the next four games, Charlotte, I think we can win. Union, I think we can win. Ford, I think we can win. Richmond, I think we can win. Mm-hmm. Like, these are all games that I don't think we can tie. I think we can win. And then that gives us a run at the end that I really like. Our last four games, Tucson, Charlotte, North Carolina, Tormenta. Like, I'm pretty optimistic. I'm looking at our last eight games, and I'm saying it's reasonable for us to think that this unbeaten streak can continue, whether it's ties or wins, for the rest of the season. Like, there's no one on here that I go, yeah, we'll be lucky to get out of there with a tie. Like, I'm not – maybe Union, just because of the fact that we like space and it's impossible to get space in Omaha because they play on a 7v7 field.
So,
but
they've also been very judicious with their Open Cup prize money and have made some pretty decent signings and have really improved their club over the last few weeks.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, Union Omaha is a good team. And I already told you, like, last week, I expect them to finish top of the table. Like, I'm not doubting Union Omaha and Greenville are going to be at the top. But what I am saying is, us getting out of there with a tie was not me going, whew, it's me going, oh, well, I would have liked to win, but I'll take a tie. Like, that's how I feel about how well this team's playing right now.
For sure.
So going into the specific Charlotte game, what are you expecting from our Red Bulls?
I think another patient, poised performance. I don't know that we're going to necessarily get on the board early, but I think we're going to look for opportunities to play transition, to win the ball in midfield and counterattack quick with our speedy wingers and put something away. And yeah, there isn't anyone with that Charlotte team that really scares me too much. It's a stadium that I would love to go see. There, you know, we're not going to be able to get to Charlotte this weekend, but I'd love to get out there. I think it's an interesting looking stadium, even though every time I see it on TV, it's, you know, barely full. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they come out in this. I think they're going to have a pretty good game.
Well, so what's interesting about the Independent Stadium is it's actually one of those larger stadiums that it's deceiving when you look at it. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sits down in a bowl. They did a full remodel of it. It's got a really cool view of downtown Charlotte from where it sits there off of Independence Boulevard. It's a nice little setup. It's definitely been around for a long time, that stadium. So it's definitely a revamp, similar to kind of a Ford Madison revamp of an existing classic stadium. They also, you know, that stadium also hosts high school football and other sports. So it's not just theirs, but it's kind of ironic that for years in USL Championship, they had a terrible stadium set up. They moved to League One and MLS comes into town and they have this great stadium. And then they're going to be competing against MLS next year. So you kind of somewhat feel bad for anyone that's part of that fan base, just because it's really hard to get traction in that scenario. But here's the thing about the Independents that's interesting is they are so hot and cold, right? We talked about our 7-1 win. They followed that up by beating, I don't remember who it was. Let me see if I can find it. Ford Madison's 6-2, right? And then they started laying eggs, right? They couldn't score against Union. They only scored one against Independents. They lost 3-1 to the Hailstorm, and the Hailstorm got a red card in the 60th minute. Like, if you can't score on the Hailstorm with a man up for 30 minutes, you got a problem. Like,
it's how about just the Hailstorm last Saturday getting 3 red cards?
Yeah, that was a thing.
sorry to our boy Leo Falla, former Red Wolf. He was the first in the first half, and then they got two others later in the game. Both center backs, Leo Fola and the Cornwall that they signed.
Well, I will say at least they were playing Greenville in the next game, so they weren't going to win. you know, I feel really bad for the players that have chosen to be in Northern Colorado, because it's got to be weird having no home. Like, they're averaging around 500 fans. Some of the pictures, though, from that Ford Madison game look like they had a pretty good crowd actually there at the most recent stadium that they're at. So that's great. And a number of Ford Madison fans had purchased jerseys and decided to go see the team that they had purchased jerseys for were there as well. But it's got to be tough to be a Hailstorm, one of the 5 Hailstorm fans. Not to know where your stadium's going to be, your team playing really poor, feeling like your coach is maybe a sweater salesman. That's got to be a tough. And then to see your team put up 3 red cards in a game. What was interesting about that, that's another one of those where you're like, huh, you got 3 red cards. You were up a man from the 38th minute, and it took until the 65th to get a goal. And then you didn't get another one after you were up 3 people. Like, they scored the 82nd, and the red cards came in the 83rd and 87th. Like, you were up 3 people. You couldn't get one goal in there. Like, goal differential does matter. Like, I know that League One, for whatever ridiculous reason, chooses to use wins as its tiebreaker, but there's a very good chance you'll be tied on wins. And Ford's one of those teams that's going to be close to that 4-5-6 range, you would think they would try to get some goal differential since they're currently sitting at zero on their goal differential. And the teams around them are the Red Wolves, who are sitting at 11, a plus 11. And then you got, you know, Charlotte, that without the Red Wolves will be plus 3, but they're negative 3. And I guess without Ford, they would be even negative further. But yeah, I mean, it just seems odd that they wouldn't be able to put the gas down and get a couple more, because I do think it's going to matter at the end. I think us being a plus 11 is going to really come in handy, because I think there's a good chance one of the, that tiebreaker of goal differential, even though it'll come after wins, will somehow come into play at the end of the season. All right, so what's your preview? What's your expectation for this Independence game?
I think it comes down to, again, can we get the second goal? I don't like the idea of trying to play conservative with a one goal lead, because some wild things have happened in Independence games in that stadium. And so I would not want to take those chances. I feel confident we can get that second goal. I'm saying once we kind of get that confidence, we tend to add one towards the end because we like padding our goal differential. So I'm going to say a 3-0 victory.
All right. I'm going to go 3-1. And I'm basing that just off the fact that clean sheets have not necessarily been our thing. Mm-hmm. Other than the Fuego game, the last 5 games, we've given up one goal in every one of them. And it just seems like us giving up a goal is kind of our thing. You know, we gave up a goal to Ford, we gave a goal to Tormenta, we gave a goal to Greenville, we gave a goal to Omaha at the end. Like, it just seems like clean sheets are just not our thing. And so I'm going to pick 3-1, but I think it's a comfortable 3-1. I think it's one where we're up 3-0 and we give up the goal. Okay. I don't think it's like it was one. What we were down 1-0, we came back, got it to 2-1. We were scrubbing, and then we got a breakaway in the 90th minute to make it 3-1. I think it's a comfortable 3-1.
All righty. So real quick, let's do some local soccer. Tennessee Wesleyan men kicked their season off down in Pensacola against Pensacola Christian, and won that game 7-2. So that was an exciting game for them. They'll be having a home opener sometime soon. The ladies for Tennessee Wesleyan are going to be opening at home Saturday, 3 p.m. If you're up in that vicinity, go check out some college soccer. The Lee men also this Sunday will be having their home opener kicking off their season. The Lee University ladies are a team you'll want to check out. They're a team that's long been one of the top contenders in, I believe it's NAIA that they play in, but I could be wrong. But they're normally nationally ranked. They were undefeated last year all the way until they were eliminated in the playoff. So multiple Lady Red Wolves, their center back, Kate Dirksey, was one who played with the Lady Red Wolves. She's an all-conference pick. So go check them out. They also play at home Saturday at 3 up in Cleveland. Not Saturday, Thursday. So tomorrow, you won't hear this till Friday. Yesterday, they'll have played. And then also Saturday up there. The Bryan men played this afternoon. I did not look up the score. The ladies are going to be playing Thursday to start their seasons. UTC started their season. They unfortunately had back-to-back losses. But I saw on Twitter had a highlight of Lady Red Wolf Maggie Shaw putting in a header, scoring a goal in a 2-1 loss to Eastern Kentucky for the ladies. They've also got a couple Lady Red Wolves. The Chattanooga Lady Red Wolves put out a tweet. I also saw it on Facebook about had kind of a tracker of all the girls that that played with them and what colleges they're with, a lot of them through the Southeast. So look that up for the Lady Red Wolves. Go give some support to these college programs. Most of them don't charge. You know, there's no admission. You can go, you can sit at the stadium or at their field, watch the games, cheer them on. They're involved in the academies. They do stuff with the Red Wolves camps. They give a lot to the community, so I'd love to see them get supported And then of interest to you, Adam, both Covenant men and women, they don't start till next weekend, so they're not playing this weekend. But that's kind of your local college roundup. I know ladies high school is also going on. You know, the Baylor ladies are always a formidable team. There's other ones like East Hamilton who have been semifinalists and finalists the last couple of years, so they're a pretty good program. And then others like I think Grace and CCS are good women's programs that play high school soccer in the area, and go give them some support as well. So that is local soccer.
So I do want to let you know that the Lee University women play in the Gulf South Conference in the Division II of the NCAA.
Division II NCAA. Yep. There you go.
So there you go.
But Gulf very South good Conference. Competitive team. Go check them out.
So I know we've got a special Biggles Wade report, and before we play the music for this, you do have a video you want to show. So I do want to mention that I can't do both at once because I'm not that talented. So I'm going to cue up your video for you if you want to start us, and then I can let it go once you're ready.
So this is our friends from Biggles Wade United, Ryan Madden on the call. On their stream, they stream on Twitch. You can find Biggles Wade United stream on Twitch. This is them against London Colney.
Taylor Whiney over the free kick, goes over the wall. And
oh, the goal!
Taylor Whiney, brilliant strike!
What a goal!
Biggles Wade have won it now from a pinpoint.
So I thought he said own goal at first. And I was like, why do you say own goal? But
that was not what he said. Oh, what a goal.
Yeah. So that brings us to the start of the rest of the Biggles Wade report.
So the clip we shared was Taylor Riney of Biggles Wade United with a winner in that's like the 80 something minute of that match at London Colney. So they are 1-2 winners at London Colney, Biggles Wade United. 4 games in the Spartan South Midland League. They've got 7 points from them. They're sitting 6th in the table, a much better place than where they were last year when they were forced to move to the United Counties League, and they had quite a few losses to start their season. They've got the weekend off. They will not be playing at all this week. Biggles Wade Town played in the FA Cup preliminary round, and they had a dominant 4-1 win over Winton United on Saturday. They'll be visiting Didcot Town this coming Saturday in league play, but they'll be moving on. Biggles Wade FC came from behind twice. Come from behind wins. Big thing here at Soccer Chat this week. Biggles Wade FC went down 1-0, brought it level, went down 2-1, scored 2 unanswered to come from behind against Harlow in the FA Cup. That's not Harlow. They were playing someone different, but they'll be hosting Harlow on Saturday in their league game. But both Biggles Wade Town and Biggles Wade FC moving on to the first qualifying round of the FA Cup, Adam. First qualifying round. There are 4 qualifying rounds before you get to the first round proper of the FA Cup. And that is your Biggles Wade report.
Well done, sir, as usual. So that would mean if they win all 4 qualifying rounds, they would then enter to play a League 2 team? Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
First round proper is when the, most of the League 2 teams would join. And I think you have to get to like the 3rd round before you're anywhere near a Premier League club.
Well, still, that's pretty awesome for them. And, you know, hope. Goes eternal that they will get to make a long run and have some fun with that, because I'm sure those guys, you know, this is very much a a passion for those players. This is not something they're doing for the money. And so to see them make a run would be awesome.
For sure.
All right. You got anything else for us, Alex?
I've got nothing.
And then on that note,
bye.
Man, without Jeff here, it just feels something.